in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus Football is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico today and see all the ways you could save. It is Thursday, July 21st. Field. Daniel hanging out with you on this toasty.
That's right.
And I may I say toasty.
Toasty.
Thursday here in July. Did you see this morning that 97 million Americans are currently dealing with a heat advisory?
That's not surprising given how unbelievably hot it is here in Connecticut.
It's really hot. We don't usually get hot weather, but it's very hot here in Connecticut. And this is a big day for lots of reasons. We've got Kyler Murray news. He has signed a 5-year extension with the Arizona Cardinals. It's good to be Kyler today.
Yes, it is.
Training camps have opened in for two teams, the Jaguars and the Raiders. By this time next week, every veteran, unless you choose not to report to training camp, will actually be back on the field. Things are getting closer to real football, Daniel.
So excited. So excited about real football. Field.
We can't wait. The Lions, I'm feeling like a sneaky playoff team this year. We'll discuss that later, I'm sure, probably all the time throughout the month of August. And a couple of housekeeping notes. We're back here today. It's Thursday. We intend to be back again next week. It sounds like maybe Thursday is in the works. Next Thursday is probably
later
Thursday.
In the week,
you
think.
Know what? I am being told it's locked in. Next Thursday, we'll be back as well. And then we are back for good. Monday through Friday, basically until the end of the regular season, starting August 1st. So really exciting news for the show. We love our daily format. It gives us life.
Yes, it does. And a chance to be able to finally hang out with everybody again.
Yeah.
We will be back. Mike and Stefania are definitely going to be a part of the crew.
That's right.
I am... very exciting. Going to make the move from the other side of the glass to this side of the glass. So I'm going to be 5 days a week here on the couch with Field.
You have heard it here first.
So Daniel Dot,
5 days a week on the show. So richly deserved for you to be here hanging out. You've obviously been not a big part of the show, but like a massive part of the show for so many years. And, you know, it's been so fun to see Daniel have more opportunities to not just produce the show, but take on a leadership role of the show and also give a ton of fantasy advice that's super useful. Remember, like, your first job when you got hired at ESPN was, like, you know, to, like, organize podcasts,
yeah.
right? Like, you're bringing talent together and telling them we're doing time and a place. Here are the topics, and here you are, and you're talking about fantasy football 5 days a week as an integral part of ESPN's coverage. It's amazing.
It's pretty surreal, to be honest, to think about all the things that happened. I've been super lucky, unbelievably blessed, and I could not be more excited to work with the people that I get to work with and talk about fake football for a living. Like, it's gonna be a blast. So like you said, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, the Fantasy Marathon, where it's coming back. We're going to do that August 15th and 16th.
Yes.
So keep an ear out for that one, an eye out for that one. And is there any other updates that we have?
That should be it for now. Of course, we'll have plenty of fantasy content throughout the month of August, as we always do. But Daniel's right. August 15th to 16th, the ESPN Fantasy Marathon. It's going to be bigger and better than ever. We cannot wait. Let's dive into some news. And, you know, it's funny. During this time of the year, there's not a ton of news, but I still find a way to lose track of when it took place. So it turns out we haven't talked in great depth since Baker Mayfield was traded
in a minute
from the Browns to the Panthers.
Yep.
And Baker Mayfield goes to the Panthers. It was not just salary sort of dumping by Cleveland, but they got a draft pick as well. That part's less relevant here, but we believe, even though the Panthers are telling us otherwise, that Baker Mayfield is the new starting quarterback of the Panthers. And quarterbacks tend to fall into two categories, Daniel. It's like there aren't too many quarterbacks that are just sort of generally accepted in every corner of the world, including by their own team, as like, this guy's solid, right? Like maybe Jimmy Garoppolo is kind of one of the exceptions. We're like, no one thinks Jimmy Garoppolo is a top five quarterback, but they also know he's not a bottom five quarterback.
Right.
Baker Mayfield is a good example of this. A couple of years ago, we were touting Baker Mayfield as the first Browns quarterback that we thought was here to stay in like 50 years. All of a sudden, he's radioactive, and the Browns could not give him away at points this offseason. But he goes to Carolina, and I got to be honest with you, Daniel. Well, Baker Mayfield is not a top five quarterback in my eyes, not maybe even a top 10 quarterback, probably not top 12. He's also not a bad quarterback when he's healthy. And Baker Mayfield is finally healthy after having surgery following last season when he was playing through a ton of stuff. Does this help the Panthers' offense?
Absolutely. I think it helps the Panthers offense a ton. I think my question to you, just as a part of that offense, Baker Mayfield to me is probably a guy I'm looking at in standard leagues, you know, 10, 12 team leagues.
Yeah.
Probably a guy I'm looking at off the waiver wire, not drafting him. I don't believe, I'm curious where you stand on that, because I don't, Baker Mayfield, while he's going to make this offense better as a fantasy asset himself, unless it's a deeper league, he's someone that I'm probably going to look at as a bye week fill in.
Yeah. I would agree on that, that Baker has a chance to be a bye week fill in 10 or 12 team leagues. But I do think for the pass catchers involved here, this is good news. Christian McCaffrey, I think, is a different category, because CMC, like, he's basically whoever, as long as he plays, basically there's no quarterback that it matters one way or the other, right? Like, the passes that he catches are like usually within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. Most NFL quarterbacks are going to nail those passes 85 out of 100 times, maybe even 95 out of 100 times. But the wide receivers are going to be some good news here, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
We know that DJ Moore is just a star. He's been awesome, even if he didn't score a ton of touchdowns last year.
Only wide receiver in the last 3 years with 1,200 receiving yards.
How about that? DJ, the only one?
Only one. Only one. You know how many good wide receivers there are in the NFL? We'll actually talk about good wide receivers a little bit later in the show.
There are a ton of them. There's so many of them. And unfortunately, he's never had more than 4 receiving touchdowns in a year. But I think this is good news for DJ Moore.
Yeah.
I think that Baker Mayfield's an upgrade. I think this only emboldens the value of DJ Moore by a little bit. Now, he was still going, I mean, he's still going to be a top 20-ish wide receiver, but I would think by most people's rankings, and I think he'll be selected in the top 20 or so, but I think it gives you even more confidence that there's a chance that he could catapult into the top 10 for wide receivers by season's end. But maybe, just maybe, this brings Robbie Anderson, or Terrace Marshall for that matter, maybe like back from the graveyard of fantasy football.
How about
like,
that?
Could this be what it takes to resurrect a second Panthers pass catcher other than Christian McCaffrey?
So here's a question to that. Earlier this offseason, I heard that Robbie Anderson was thinking about retirement. Now, that was pre-Baker Mayfield news.
Yes.
Is that something that was just like, I just don't want to play with these quarterbacks? Or is that like, Robbie Anderson might not love football the way that I was hoping Robbie Anderson loved football?
It seems like more the latter to me, which is fine, by the way. Like, not everybody's Tom Brady.
Of course, but as part of like, if you're going to draft someone for your fantasy team, like that's a part of it. So the number two spot, I like Robbie Anderson. He's going pretty late. It doesn't cost you a lot. What is he?
Wide receiver 60 in terms of ADP.
Very low investment. But Terrace Marshall, in his second year, I'm excited to see what he's able to do. Again, not a guy in probably 10 or 12 team leagues. He'd have to be real late, but just someone that I'm definitely keeping an eye on.
I'm more on Anderson only because like we're not even a year removed from them giving him a 2-year, $29 million extension. Like, Robbie Anderson was good back in 2020. Last year, he was not good, but he still had 110 targets. If he gets 110 targets again this year with steadier quarterback play, he'll be on the fantasy radar.
He will.
Let's move forward. And this is typically best shape of my life season, right?
Sure.
Everybody's in the best shape of their life except for you and I, because we're just sort of dad-bodding our way through it.
I would love to look like these soccer players that we're watching on the screen right now in front of us.
Yeah, our return is not us. I think it's the...
They're in the best shape that I've
Euros.
Ever seen.
I think it's... Euros, I think, are taking place right now, or coming up soon, I should say. But apparently, Leonard Fournette's not in the best shape of his life, as Leonard Fournette reportedly weighed nearly 260 pounds during minicamp for the Buccaneers. This is like a modified minigame of news or noise. Does this matter? Like, do you care about this news?
So I care enough that I want to know, and I want to ask you.
Okay.
I think Rashad White is interesting to me, given this news. Rookie that they drafted, the idea that, listen, Leonard Fournette, far and away, they gave him a 3-year deal, correct?
Yeah.
So they want him to be the guy. He looked fantastic last year. Coming in out of shape does not inspire a lot of confidence. However, there's still time for him to be able to get into shape. But I feel like this is one of those things where you're an NFL franchise. And again, you're a person investing in this player for your fantasy team. It just, that is a little bit of a maybe sliding down the tier that Leonard Fournette is in. I wouldn't move him out of the tier, but I think maybe slide down a couple of spots within that tier is the way I'm looking at this news.
I'm not ready to go there yet. I'm holding firm on Leonard Fournette.
260 pounds, Field.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, there are certain players where like 260 can turn into, if it is 260, by the way, and Fournette seemed to take umbrage with that. And it seemed like he was, I don't think he believes his weight is an issue right now. It's like, he's one of those guys, like, he could be 260 today and truly like today's Thursday. He could be 250 by Sunday and like 240 by like next Friday. Like you just, you hit the cardio machines a little bit harder and like you adjust your diet a bit. There are some guys, and he's one of the, like, the bigger you are, the more likely you are to experience like 10 pound swings, right? That just seems common sense to me.
10 pound swings. I guess if you're bigger, that, you know, then that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean,
okay. So if you're not, if that's not affecting the way that you're looking at Fournette yet, are you looking at any of those backups behind him and moving them up at all? And not yet.
Nah, this is still Lenny's job. As a matter of fact, he feels like one of the potentially super valuable commodities amongst the running backs as we're sifting through guys that are being drafted in the top 15 to 20. He's going right now in terms of ADP as RB10. And he was incredible last year. On a points per game basis, he was RB4. And I don't know if it's because of the fact that he entered the league as a fourth overall pick and didn't meet expectations, but it felt like that was kind of a quiet RB4 last year relative to some of the other names that we're still talking about in the same breath as Leonard Fournette. But it's one thing we've always talked about with Tom Brady and running backs is if he trusts you, you've got a chance. And there are a couple of things that Leonard Fournette does extremely well that Tom Brady appreciates.
Showing up out of conditioning to training camp. One.
Stop it. No, do we like write the 5 day a week thing?
Stop it. Is this in pen or is this?
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, we never relent on that. But no, like he's a great, very good pass catcher.
Really good.
And he can play a ton of snaps. And this offense is going to throw the ball a ton. Brady was near the NFL leaderboard in terms of pass attempts last year. And if Chris Godwin's out for at least a part of the beginning of next year or is getting back into shape, like these are all considerations that make the idea of Leonard Fournette, again, challenging for like 75 catches next year. Very, very possible. So I'm in on Leonard Fournette. I'm not concerned about the weight at all. But this one, I'm a little bit, I don't know about concerned, but it has my attention. As there was a report from the NFL Network that J.K. Dobbins for the Ravens was unlikely, or was, excuse me, was not a guarantee to play in week one. Let me be careful with the phrasing because J.K. Dobbins took exception with this report. And basically, he quote tweeted the report and said, I might not even go on PUP because that's how good my rehab is going. And I'm damn sure going to be ready for week one. All right. So, Daniel, we'll see, right? Like, we'll see on whether J.K. Dobbins is available for week one or not. There have been others that have reported on this that have mentioned that this injury to J.K. Dobbins was significant and legitimate, that I don't think this is, you know, rap sheet going rogue and just like making stuff up. It's not what he does. But I think, so maybe J.K. Dobbins plays in week one, maybe he doesn't. I think it's fair, though, for us to sort of assume that he's more of a question mark for week one than other running backs that are going inside the top 20 in terms of ADP right now, because that's where he's going right now. His ADP is RB19. By the way, Gus Edwards is RB51. I don't even know where Mike Davis is right now. But I'm just sort of piecing together a variety of breadcrumbs here. And yeah, like I got to be honest with you, Daniel, in terms of backfields that I have the least amount of feel for.
Yes.
The Ravens are near the top of the list going into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. The idea that I have to make sure that I'm investing in J.K. Dobbins as my starting RB2 for the entirety of the season is a big ask given all of the things that happened with the injury, the rehab coming back. You're not sure. Plus, they still have Gus Edwards,
who they gave a real contract to last year. Like they love Gus Edwards.
And it's so from that standpoint, I feel like his ADP is still a little too high for me to feel comfortable taking J.K. Dobbins. If it drops, then he becomes a value with the idea of like that injury might weigh into it. But if this is a guy that I'm counting as RB18. Yeah. As my starting RB2 for the season, there's just too, for me right now, there's too much injury concern there.
Yeah, he's a riskier RB2 than some of the other names that are close to him on the board. And we all know the talent, right? Like we think J.K. Dobbins has a chance to be like a really, really good player if he got the opportunity to do so. There's a reason why he was considered by some people the best back in the draft 2 years ago. He's had a couple of moments. He finished strong down the stretch as a rookie back in 2020. Like there's reasons to believe that if J.K. Dobbins is healthy and has the job, even for like 15 games as opposed to 17, he's a massive value. But there are also reasons to believe that he may not be ready for week one. The Ravens may be more committed to a rushing committee. Moreover, Lamar Jackson's the best rushing quarterback the league has ever seen.
Yep.
Like goal line opportunities could be nuked by a couple of opportunities by Lamar Jackson. So it's an interesting one. I am just, if somebody has a good feel for the Ravens, in their backfield specifically, please, and would like to impart that wisdom to me over the next, I think we have 4-7 weeks till the regular season kicks off, I am open to it. For now, it remains very much a wait-and-see situation.
Can I ask you real quick a couple questions? Would you rather have Breece Hall or J.K. Dobbins right now?
I would still prefer J.K. Dobbins.
Okay.
And the reason why is that it's a great sort of, you know, on-the-fly name game there. If you look at the Jets' schedule the first half, their second half schedule looks much better. Like, the chance of the Jets finishing strong, I think, is in play. The first half's really tough.
Yeah.
And when you have a young quarterback, an offensive line that I think is good, that's okay, but a young quarterback, you're playing like we're talking about like the Bills. Like, they have some haymakers in that first half. Like, it's going to be hard for the Jets to be in the kind of game script that they need for Breece Hall to have, let's call it like 20-ish carries per game, especially when we saw like Michael Carter, who they drafted in the fourth round last year.
Look good.
He's not like that's a cute performance from Michael Carter. He's good. No. He's like legitimately good. He's a good pass catching running back that
absolutely,
if the Jets are down in those games early in the season, they're not just, I mean, I think Breece Hall will see some work, but they're not going to just nix Michael Carter from their plans on offense. So there. I would prefer J.K. Dobbins.
What about Elijah Mitchell?
My answer, I think, is Elijah Mitchell because, okay, and Kyle may be able to push back I'd have to check. Elijah Mitchell did not have a ton of passing game usage last year, obviously, but J.K. Dobbins was not like elite in terms of his pass game production during his rookie season. And I'd have to go check this. Another one that I should have thought of beforehand, but like relative to other offenses in the NFL, the Ravens are less reliant upon their running backs in the passing game systematically, which might be reflective of, like, you know, you've got some, like, I don't know exactly why. It might be that Lamar, who is a very, very, very talented passer, but accuracy in the short to intermediate passing game has at times been an issue.
Sure.
That may be the root of it, but I would go with Elijah Mitchell over J.K. Dobbins.
Both those guys are going after him right now in ADP.
Right after
him. I just feel like those are two names that I feel like I've been targeting more, or rather than J.K. Dobbins. But I was just curious where you felt on those guys.
Yeah, those are like, I mean, Breece Hall's an interesting one because, again, if, you know, at the end of the season, he may have more points, but it may just take him a while to get to that spot where he is consistently outproducing him.
Sure.
All right, speaking of backfields that I think are sort of difficult to size up, Bob Condotta does a great job covering the Seahawks for the Seattle Times, expects Rashad Penny to be the Seahawks, quote, primary back, and projects him to handle 20 carries per game. As things stand right now, we do have Chris Carson still on the roster, but there's been some uncertainty surrounding his future in Seattle because of his health and his contract, Daniel. So that would leave Rashad Penny and second-round pick Kenneth Walker. I don't envy beat reporters in this regard, is that we have this period of 5-6 weeks where, you know, a beat reporter, the essence of your job is being on the ground every single day and reporting what you see. There's nothing for them to be on the ground for, right? Like, you might have a player who goes and, like, you know, hosts a youth camp at some point during the month of July. But generally speaking, you don't see these players. You are relying upon, like, content that either is predictive or is what do the fans want to hear about. So over the however many years, I've seen so many of these, like, these projections get turned into much bigger stories when I think the beat writers are just offering a projection and not necessarily a bold declaration of fact. So I think that what Bob expects might be like, hey, I know that this could change, right? Like, I think he knows that, like, by week three, it could be that Kenneth Walker has more carries per game than Rashad Penny. Rashad Penny could get hurt. He has had a history of that, right? But do you think that going into the year, it is clear which Seattle back between Kenneth Walker and Rashad Penny should be drafted first?
No. Okay. No, but I'll tell you what.
I think the masses agree with you, by the way.
I think that, yeah, because their ADP is right next to each other. RB33 for Penny, RB35 for Ken Walker.
Yep.
And if you are asking me, I understand, like, I totally agree with you, by the way, on beat writers. Bob is in an unbelievably difficult spot because you're right. He says he projects him to handle 20 carries, not he declares him to handle 20 carries. You're very, very much, it is the projection or talking about what they think it could be. I would rather have Ken Walker. I think two spots later, it's costing me the same. The value is the same, right? When I'm in the draft, I'm probably looking within that same round. And the idea that I'm able to get a guy who handled the workload at Michigan State and I don't have to worry about Rashad Penny's injury history from that standpoint. It's not the kind of running back situation where you can grab one early and then maybe try to grab one late. Like, you're not grabbing both of them. You're picking one. And right now, I've actually stayed away more than I've decided to go in on one of them. But if I was picking one, I'm only picking Walker because they spent a second round pick on him. And because of the fact that Rashad Penny's injury history makes me feel like he will have a role. And when he takes over that role based on what he did at Michigan State, he might not let it go.
Yeah, it's funny because I was going to say if I'm picking one of them, it's Rashad Penny because he was just so good down the stretch. He was like literally the NFL's leading rusher for like the last 6 weeks of last season. And yet the fact that you and I both feel differently underscores the point.
Yes.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Right. And there's been a lot of examples of this over the years where it's like if you guess, you might just be guessing right.
Yeah.
And that's where I think things have kind of netted out for the Seahawks as things presently stand.
Well, by the way, running back 33 or running back 35, you're taking a shot in the dark at getting a starting running back.
Yeah, totally fine.
But
right?
you're waiting late enough that it's,
The masses, by the way, agree with, because to your point, the ADP for flex that like no one really knows.
Right.
And maybe at that point, if you're RB 33 and RB 35, you might be well suited to just corner the Seahawks backfield and take both of them. The Bears have acquired N'Keal Harry from the Patriots.
We don't talk about this, do we?
I'm trying to one of my goals for this year is to appreciate just how much work goes into being an NFL player, an athlete in any sport, and that like change of scenery can serve people well. And N'Keal Harry was a first round pick. My guess is there's a very, very, very small chance that N'Keal Harry makes a fantasy relevant impact. I think it's mentioned only because besides Darnell Mooney, the Bears wide receiver room is full of questions more so than answers, right? Byron Pringle and Bayless Jones and N'Keal Harry. So
Cole Kmet is going to get a ton of targets.
Yeah,
in that offense.
Yeah. I think probably it only sort of, I'm with you. Like, have I seen crazier things? Yes. But is it possible?
Here's a question. And I think this is like, I don't think N'Keal Harry is going to offer a lot of fantasy value for the Bears. Would love it if I'm wrong. Yeah. Like for anybody that's drafted in the first round, you obviously have talent. You're drafted there for a reason. Would love to see him be good there. Does this offer anything in the way of the Patriots? Does this give more to Devontae Parker? Does this open up? Because he already wasn't getting enough targets there anyways, that it's sort of a moot point, right?
I think for the Patriots, it was like salary dump and the draft pick, I guess, is part of it, but a 2024 seventh
rounder.
I think that's literally the lowest pick that you can physically acquire right now because you can only trade 3 years out and you're getting a seventh round pick. So maybe they could have been a 2025 pick, but whatever. The point is that this is a salary thing for the Patriots and no, there are far too many wide receiver lottery tickets for me to try to pound the table for N'Keal Harry.
Yep.
Just a reminder that Gronk maintains that he is done with football. Here's sort of my thought on this one, Daniel, is that like he's obviously retired and unretired before. My guess is that the only way that people will totally believe that Gronk is fully retired is that if Tom Brady also retires or we get like two straight years of no Gronk playing football.
Right.
But like, I don't think people would be stunned if Brady continues playing beyond this year and Gronk sits out this year. If next offseason we're asking the question again, but is it really like, is it worth a pick in fantasy? Like, can you really afford to stash Gronk?
No. I don't know other than like a crazy deep dynasty league, right?
A bit of deep league, yeah.
Like, I would rather use those spots for somebody else that I feel like has some kind of an upside from that standpoint. The Bucs did just sign Kyle Rudolph. I know that they have Cameron Brate. We'll see how that plays in Kate Otten. I have no idea. That's another tight end room. I would love to be able to roster Tom Brady's tight end in fantasy if I freaking knew which one of them it was going to be and if they were going to be the main pass catcher on a you know, play-by-play basis.
You know, I saw this in a hat tip to our buddy Brian Beasley over ESPN Stats and Info who put this together, but Brady targeted the tight end more than any other quarterback in the NFL last year.
Really?
Not one, like the tight end position in general. I also want to say that Brady's completion percentage when targeting tight ends was like worse in the league.
No way.
Which is weird. Like, because typically tight ends are like more layups, right? Like,
yeah.
They're guys who are not running as far down the field because they're not as fast as wide receivers. A lot of it's just like, you know, 8 to 10 yard routes. So I don't think there's I'm pointing
that's
that
just
out.
Just a fun stat.
Just a fun
field.
Fact. It's not like it actually matters. Just interesting. But you're right. I think Kyle Rudolph signing is kind of instructive that like, listen, if you really thought Gronk was coming back, and you already have Cam Brate, you already have Kate Otten, who you mentioned, you actually used two draft picks on tight ends this year, would you really go out and sign Kyle Rudolph if you thought that Gronk was coming back? Maybe I'll be proven wrong, but it feels like if Gronk does come back, I'll say this. It feels to me like if Gronk is coming back, it's not till later in the year.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine to bypass him in your drafts. All right, we're going to come back and talk about some Madden ratings and how those tie in to fantasy ADP. But first, a word from our friends at NerdWallet. When it comes to choosing the top running back, wide receiver, quarterback, or even which defense is right for your team on any given week, you know where to turn. But when you're trying to decide on the right credit card for your wallet, the right mortgage lender for your dream home, or the right savings account, where do you go? The nerds at NerdWallet are here to help you make a smart financial decision. NerdWallet is a personal finance site run by money nerds. Think people who are as obsessed about personal finance as Daniel and I are about fantasy sports, who want to share their knowledge with our listeners to help them find the right financial products for them. Let's say you're looking for a new rewards credit card. NerdWallet can help you compare cashback cards side by side so you can feel confident choosing the one that suits your spending. Think of them like your weekly wide receiver PPR rankings, but you're comparing top credit cards that work for you. Are you ready to make a financial decision? Compare and find top credit cards, savings accounts, and more at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539. NerdWallet is not an investment advisor nor an investment broker. Information is for educational purposes only.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Well, of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, or RV. Even help with your homeowner's, condo, or renter's insurance. You could even save more with special discounts when you bundle your coverages. Plus, you add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.
All right, so we're back, and Madden ratings release week is upon us.
Yes, it is. Phil, can I tell you something real quick about this?
Yes.
We're going to talk about a bunch of Madden's ratings, and these Madden ratings are brought to us by NerdWallet.
Ah.
Are you on the fence over which credit card to get? With NerdWallet side-by-side comparison of top credit cards, you don't have to be. NerdWallet, the smartest decision for all your financial decisions.
All right, so as Daniel mentioned, it's brought to you by NerdWallet, and this is the week where we are giving you all the Madden ratings for positions, those that are relevant to fantasy and those that aren't, like defensive tackles and cornerbacks and such. But kind of got us thinking, like, which players have the biggest gap in terms of their Madden rating and their fantasy value? We're using positional ADP and our ESPN consensus ranks to determine that gap. And it's probably not a total surprise that at the top of some of these, like, you're pretty consistent, right? Devontae Adams, wide receiver 1 in terms of Madden rankings, but wide receiver 4 both in terms of ADP and also positional consensus on ESPN. But that's because, of course, he now plays for the Raiders, who also have Hunter Renfro and Darren Waller. Here are the top 5 receivers in terms of Madden ratings: Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, and Stephon Diggs.
Hold on. Can we jump in? Can I jump in? Because I'm ready, Field.
Go for it.
DeAndre Hopkins at 4 at 96 overall. DeAndre, and I have been a Nuke stan for forever. Okay? Devontae Adams being a 99, I'm fine with it.
Totally.
Cooper Kupp being a 98. Tyreek Hill being a 97, sure. But Nuke being wide receiver 4 with a Madden rating of 96. Where is he at right now this year? Obviously coming back from injury.
In terms of his rankings?
Yeah.
Well, they're a little bit thrown off because of the 6-game suspension. But Nuke is 39 in ESPN consensus ranks and 35 in terms of wide receiver ADP. That, of course, is all reflective of the 6-game ban. My guess is it would be closer to like wide receiver 8 or 9. I think that here's the way that I would put it. And let me be very clear. The people at Madden are an incredible bunch of individuals who work tirelessly to make an iconic, legendary game. This job is thankless. I was actually talking to somebody at Madden recently, and I said, you guys are the long snappers of video games. We don't talk about you when you do your job appropriately. Oh, you've got Aaron Donald at 99? No one says anything about that. Mm. Good job. Woohoo, 99. He deserves it. 6 straight years. But when somebody has a ranking that we disagree with, we go ballistic. In the same way that when a long snapper does a good snap, no one cares. Hey, yeah, it's his job. When the long snapper has a bad snap, are you kidding me? We're paying you $1 million to put a ball between your legs and throw it 8 yards behind you, and you can't even get that done right? That's what the Madden's ratings people are the video game equivalent of. But what I would say, so I just want to let them know, like, you know, I got mad love for you guys. If you had to ask me, which wide receiver would I prefer in a vacuum? And the options were DeAndre Hopkins or Justin Jefferson. You and I both know the answer to that one.
Justin Jefferson.
Okay, how about DeAndre Hopkins or Ja'Marr Chase?
Ja'Marr Chase, Field Yates.
Okay, there we go. Those are just two examples of wide receivers. So we are trying to manifest more love for both Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase going into next year, especially Chase, who was 19th amongst wide receivers.
Yeah, he's just going to keep growing. That's the thing. He is just going to keep getting better. We're going to look at 6 through 10 here, yeah. Right? This is where Justin Jefferson finally gets on the board, rating 93. Mike Evans at 7, 92. Terry McLaurin at 8. Keenan Allen at 9. And Amari Cooper is the 10th best rated wide receiver within Madden.
So there are three wide receivers that we have not mentioned in terms of their Madden ratings in the top 10 that are inside the top 10 in terms of ADP for fantasy. Ja'Marr Chase, did my voice just crack?
I think it was me hitting the microphone out of anger.
Oh. Ja'Marr Chase is wide receiver 3 in terms of ADP, 19th in terms of Madden rating. Deebo Samuel is wide receiver 6 in terms of ADP, 12th overall, so that's regardless of position. But in terms of Madden rating, he's much further down the list. And then CeeDee Lamb is wide receiver 8th overall. Excuse me, wide receiver 8 in terms of ADP and 17th overall. He's got a massive opportunity. No Amari Cooper in Dallas. Obviously, Michael Gallup is still there, but he's coming off of an ACL tear. You know, this is Jalen Tolbert, their third-round pick out of South Alabama, could be the number 2 receiver to begin the season. Those are three guys, Daniel, that their fantasy love outweighs their Madden love right now.
In a massive way. I think this list is really interesting, right? We're just trying to have fun being able to talk about some of these top wide receivers, but I think it's really, CeeDee Lamb is set up, I think, for a really great year this year. I'm surprised he didn't make the top 10.
Yeah, me too. Again, it's a thankless job, and there are some really, really good wide receivers.
Have you ever met any of the Madden ratings guys by any chance?
In person, no.
I got a chance. I just, a quick shout out. Mike Rothstein and I went down to a bunch of the guys at EA that did actually the actual Madden ratings. And so we sat with them and watched them during some of the rookie seasons. They went through and built out players, and they showed us how they like go through and they research everybody, and they pull up clips, and they go through 40 times and combine. It truly is a thankless job.
Totally.
But you guys did get some wrong. I just want to say that very clear, okay? Just you can look right at me, and I love you. I think that...
It's good. By the way, it's good for their business when we talk about it,
of
right?
Of course.
We don't want to have, oh yeah, we agree. Talk to you later. Like, this is the only thing to talk about this week.
Deebo Samuel, was wide receiver 3 last year. Wide receiver 3!
Yeah, that part's weird because, like, Madden rating doesn't take into account, like, contract status, right? Which would be the... Like, if you're drafting Deebo Samuel, I think what you're fearful of, if you're fearful of anything, is that he, like, doesn't play the first 4 weeks. He doesn't have a contract.
Right.
Which, I'm not fearful of that. I'm just saying, like, if you're trying to make a case as to why Deebo Samuel is not going much higher in your draft, that would be the only case you'd have for it.
Where does it get at this point? You're looking at the top of this list. Is there anybody that you feel like you would replace when you look at Deebo and you look at CeeDee Lamb, where you're like, who would come out of the top 10? Would it be a Keenan Allen just based on age?
Or Amari Cooper is the one that sticks out to me for sure. And the problem with here's...
This is not saying Amari Cooper isn't good.
He's amazing. Amari Cooper's awesome.
Right.
He's really good. But he also, he makes $20 million a year, which all of a sudden is like not that expensive for wide receivers. And the Cowboys traded him for a TSA pre-check card and a bag of potato chips.
That's right? Really, like, but if you're flying a lot, that pre-check card is really valuable.
And also it takes, if you try to sign up for one, the line is so long. Actually, do it in Connecticut because we have a much smaller airport than where I used to live in Boston, which has a very big airport. Let's go to running backs. Same thing here. Same exercise. Same drill. The dissonance between Madden grade plus positional ADP and positional rankings. And here's where it gets a little bit wonky here. So the top 10 or top 5 running backs in terms of Madden ratings, Derrick Henry,
yes.
Nick Chubb, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Dalvin Cook. Now that includes the 1st, 2nd, 4th, and 6th ranked running backs on ESPN. And also in terms of ADP. The big one that stands out, I think, to everybody is that why is Jonathan Taylor not number one? I feel that, Daniel, but he's four and he's only a few points behind Jonathan Taylor.
My bigger question is why is Nick Chubb number two?
Well, he is an awesome player, but this one kind of makes sense to me in this, like, as a pure running back, it's hard to beat the pureness of Nick Chubb as a running back.
The football standpoint.
Does that make sense what I just said?
It absolutely does, because his fantasy upside is limited based on what it is that he does on the field. But as far as a pure runner, the idea that he's the best, second best running back within Madden,
yeah,
totally makes sense.
Like as a runner, mm-hmm, Nick Chubb makes sense. But the position has evolved, and this includes in fantasy, into having so many responsibilities outside of running the football. And that's why Nick Chubb's ADP is RB14 and his ranking is RB13. On top of the fact that, of course, he probably has the best backup running back in the league, right? And Kareem Hunt's probably the best number two running back in the NFL, or at least on the very short list of top number two running backs. So I actually get this one. Like, I think I'd have him a couple pegs lower in terms of Madden rating, but I think that his fantasy ranking is also not reflective of where I would rank him in terms of best running backs overall.
Totally.
6 through 10 is where I think things get a little bit more interesting. Joe Mixon, 6th. Alvin Kamara, 7th with a 90 grade. Yep. Aaron Jones, 8th with an 89 grade. Austin Eckler, 9th with an 88 grade. And Ezekiel Elliott, 10th with an 88 grade as well. Eckler, the 3rd ranked running back, both in terms of ADP and also in terms of ESPN's positional ranking, is 9th in terms of Madden's running back rankings.
Yeah.
Feels a little low to me.
Feels real low for RB3 last year, especially given all the things that he did in that offense. I wonder if it's one of those things, though, where, again, in fantasy, that pass-catching ability, the way that they utilized him at the goal line, is that difficult to be able to translate into a video game where it's like, you know, he's not... It's different when you're Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb and you've got this physical imposing body that feels like it could translate really easily to a video game style.
Totally.
Some of those guys, like Alvin Kamara with his shiftiness and his speed, I understand, you know, where he's at. Eckler, I don't think has quite the same quickness and speed that Kamara does, which is why I think from a Madden perspective, probably comes in a little bit lower, but he is like easily been a consensus top three running back for me this fantasy season.
Yeah, and if you look at Eckler and like his path to fantasy success this year, it's so clear. I mean, it's so obvious, right? He's other than Christian McCaffrey, I'd argue the best pass catching running back in the NFL. And he's been used consistently in that regard. And I give the Chargers a lot of credit. While I think they are continuing to look for a big body back to complement him, they haven't found that player yet. And last year, 20 touchdowns speaks for themselves. So there are a couple of names that did not make this list that I think probably deserve to have made that top 10 Madden rankings. Mm-hmm. And I think make for some interesting conversation. Najee Harris being the number one. Speaking of guys that have a clear and obvious path, he's really stinking good as Najee Harris. He's really young. The Steelers are not going to entirely change their ways. They didn't draft him just so they could run the football a lot for 1 year. They want to continue to run the football a lot. And he's got no competition in Pittsburgh for touches.
Yep.
None.
He had 381 touches last year as a rookie.
And great pass catcher, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. What I need out of Najee Harris is just more efficiency, which I think is maybe a little bit less of a Najee thing and more of that offensive line kind of a thing.
But I think maybe what I would say is what I would love from Najee is a little bit more efficient. You don't even need it, right? I mean, the guy was a top five running back last year, right? He led the NFL in terms of running back targets and running back receptions. He's going to continue to get the goal line work. I think the Steelers offense will be close to, if not a little bit better as last year. So scoring opportunities could be up.
Like, should be.
I know these are like famous last words, but like I kind of like the way that the running backs in the first round are shaping up. Like there's a couple guys that make me nervous, but for the most part, I really do like how they are shaping up.
I would replace Najee Harris on this list. I'm just going to pick someone. We're probably Ezekiel Elliott.
I would take Zeke off. Now, that being said, what is interesting about Zeke is that Zeke has cratered in terms of fantasy value.
Yes, he has.
Zeke is now going 20th. I'm sorry, take that back. He is now on 18th in terms of ADP. He is 20th in our positional ranks, which is an average of all the rankers we have here at ESPN. Is that too low?
No.
No?
No. I think when you look at what the Cowboys are going to do, I think this year, there has been so much about wanting to get Tony Pollard more involved and just find ways to put the ball in Tony Pollard's hands. I understand who Ezekiel Elliott is. I don't think that is going to change. And he is an awesome running back, but with Dak Prescott finally getting healthy, with CeeDee Lamb and being able to add, they've got Michael Gallup, obviously, who is injured, will be coming back. Excited to see that. But they signed both James Washington and drafted Jalen Tolbert. Dalton Schultz looked freaking amazing as a tight end, by the way. He's a guy that, like, I think that this offense is going to be really, really good. And I think Zeke is just going to be a part of it rather than one of the focal points that he had been in the previous Zeke fantasy era of his career.
Yeah, Zeke played through a lot of pain last year, as Stefania has told us several times over, that PCL issue that kind of nagged at him. So the optimistic view includes the fact that he's healthy this year. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys offensive line might be better, might be similar. They used a first round pick on a right tackle. They also lost Lyle Collins after they cut him. He now signed with the Bengals. So I'm not exactly sure if the offensive line is decidedly better or worse. No Amari Cooper. Like, I don't have a great feel about how much better or worse the Cowboys offense is compared to last year. I think it's a little bit worse on paper going into the year. But I also, like, there were times last season where I couldn't tell if why Zeke looked pedestrian was simply because of that PCL injury, or because when you've got like 1,000 carries over the past 3 seasons before this, or maybe the 4 seasons before this, like, you're inevitably going to have some wear and tear on your body. And that might be the root of Zeke. I think he's a fun guy to discuss, because I think it's possible that in the right circumstances, he looks like a massive value by the middle of the season.
Sure.
Possibly.
I could totally see that.
Possibly.
There's another guy in this list that I think would be a massive value and wasn't even on this.
Okay, who's that?
DeAndre Swift.
Oh, the other Lions running back.
Come on. Yeah. You look at what he did through 11 weeks last season. I was talking with Damian about this earlier before the show. Like, he was running back 3 through 11 weeks last season.
Yeah.
Running back 3. And what did that Lions offense do? Did it change in any way, shape, or form? You look at the way that he was able to score those points, Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't doing what he did at the end of the year, right? Yeah. So that's something to figure. But it's not like they went out and got a new quarterback. They didn't change systems. Jamison Williams, who they drafted, is probably going to be a guy that doesn't come on until late in the season.
Yeah.
I think DeAndre Swift is going to, like, has a really good shot to be able to repeat what he started to do last season.
I have expressed this previously. Like, I'm a scotch. I think that's a word.
It is.
Scotch nervous, yeah, because your Lions are going to be better this year, that, like, they're not going to need to throw the football as much as they were. Now, the counterpoint that could, like, and I say a little bit nervous, a scotch nervous. I'm not like I'm dropping him outside like my top, you know, I think I have him like RB9 or something, right? Still like him a lot. But, like, you're right. RB3 through 11 weeks is that's significant. Is that maybe that's balanced by the fact that they have a really good offensive line and he'll get the opportunity to run the ball in more opportunistic moments, like near the goal line, because they'll be better on offense. But yeah, I was surprised by DeAndre, because wasn't he tied for, like, well, let me get the exact number, but in terms of Madden ranking, wasn't he like something like an 80 overall?
He was low.
I'm not sure. And like Jamal Williams was like 77 or something.
I think that I would.
He was a good player too, by the way, but like the 3-point gap seems narrower than I would have expected.
I'd rather have, although Aaron Jones, I think, is going to have a heck of a pass catching season potentially this year in Green Bay. I'd rather have DeAndre Swift over Aaron Jones.
I got to tell you, just like cracking open that top 10 for the Madden rankings right now, I really do feel pretty good about like 8 or 9 of those running backs. I feel pretty secure about taking them early on in the drafts, plus some other guys outside the top 10. All right, so it's really fun fodder. And by the way, go check out Madden NFL 23. It'll be out to play soon enough. They do a really great job. It's super thankless job. So we appreciate all their efforts, even if occasionally we got to take their rankings to task. A little Q&A?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so if you haven't yet, please follow at Fantasy Focus on Twitter. Jackson does a great job managing that handle, and we love that you can contribute and be a part of the conversation. So here's a question. This one comes from Brendan, who wants to know, if you go wide receiver early, who is your round 3 running back? If you go running back early, which wide receiver do you like most in round 3? So let me just sort of put this way. If you go RB in your first 2 picks, or I suppose you go RB tight end, but let's just assume it's like generally speaking, like running back or wide receiver. So let's start with that wide receiver early idea. So you're taking, maybe it's Cooper Kupp in the first round, and maybe you're taking Cooper Kupp and coming back with Keenan Allen, or Cooper Kupp and you're coming back with Mike Evans, right? Or whatever the situation may be. here are some of the running backs that are going to be available in that round three range. You've got Aaron Jones. You've got Javonte Williams. You've got James Conner. You've got Nick Chubb. You've got Saquon Barkley. And you've got Cam Akers. There is one name that sticks out like a sore thumb in a good way of those five or six that I just listed, and you just talked about, is Aaron Jones, because no Davante Adams means someone has to pick up the slack. But we've already seen games. Now, man, memory could be failing me right now, but last year when they went to Arizona on Thursday night, play without Davante Adams, who was out for one game, Aaron Jones went off. And it made me think that, like, he's an awesome pass catcher as it is. Aaron Rodgers is going to trust Aaron Jones. This could be a ripe opportunity for him to level up as a pass catcher.
I think I'm totally with you. And when I look at the rest of those running backs, Javonte Williams, there's a reason why there's a question mark. It's just Melvin Gordon.
He's good.
He's good. He's great.
He's really good.
Question mark.
No, I'm saying Melvin Gordon is good.
Oh, yes.
So Javonte is really good too, but Melvin's like a legitimately, he's like a really, really good running back.
Absolutely. James Conner, I am worried about the touchdown regression there.
Yep.
Nick Chubb is great, but he offers one thing. It's
you
running.
100 yards and a touchdown. Yep.
He's going to run. And then Saquon Barkley and Cam Akers, there's some injury concerns. So when you talk about a healthy Aaron Jones with a pass catching, like from Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's easy to me that he would be the guy that I would target.
So conversely, this is why in a perfect world, I will still feel confident in the running back early strategy, because here are the wide receivers available in that range. Mm. Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, T. Higgins, A.J. Brown, Jalen Waddle, top 10 wide receiver last year in fantasy, D.J. Moore. Like, that to me feels like a more favorable path to start your draft.
Yep.
I'm not saying you can't win anyway. You can win in a million different ways in fantasy. It just feels like I would personally feel better, more comfortable coming out of a draft if I'm walking away with two solid running backs and Keenan Allen is my wide receiver one, as opposed to two solid wide receivers and Saquon Barkley is my running back one.
I am 100% with you, and give me any of these wide receivers.
Yeah.
Mike Evans would be my choice if I had to choose, just given the fact that we're not sure Chris Godwin's return. You look at, he might get more targets. That's always been the thing with him. Damian and I had this big conversation because I've been going a lot of Tyreek Hill in a lot of my drafts, and Mike Evans and Tyreek Hill are right there next to each other every time. And I think, but the more that I've talked about it, the more that we've gone back and forth about it, the more I'm starting to come around on this. Mike Evans might, like, the number of targets that he might finally be able to get in this offense without Chris Godwin through the first couple of weeks is starting to push me over the top. But can you go wrong with a single one of these wide receivers?
No, you're in a pretty good spot. Like, again, the depth of wide receiver is absurd this year. Next question comes from Eric Webster, who wants to know, is Zeke still a running back one? Again, no. We just talked about him. I think that we don't believe he's a running back one. There might be a pathway for him to be closer to like RB12 or 15 as opposed to RB18 or 20. But, you know, I guess my concerns come back to, like, every once in a while to be an RB1, it's nice when your guy just busts open a 65-yard touchdown run. And you don't have to worry about grinding it out and other things working out in his favor. And those opportunities are just not there for Zeke anymore, really.
Yeah. I want to see this year. Maybe we're all wrong. Maybe Zeke comes back with a vengeance and looks great. And that Cowboys offense is on fire. And it's, you know, we're all proven that Zeke really is the guy he was. There are so many people in that offense. I don't think he's a solid RB2 for me, but that's it.
What are you doing with the the Jaguars running backs this year? Current ADP for Travis Etienne is RB23. Current ADP for James Robinson, coming off of a major injury, by the way, RB40.
I'm okay with Etienne at 23, I think. That might be still a little high for me, given the fact that we haven't seen him play professional football and that team
and a big injury.
Has a new coaching staff and they're going to be figuring things out there. But I think that there is an upside from a pass catching perspective that I really like. And you're looking at him, RB23. He's going to be a flex play and a bye week fill in when one of your first two running backs are out. If that's who you want to target and you have conviction about him, I don't think there's a problem with him there in the mid 20s for me.
I think the trick with James Robinson is doing this right now is really hard. Achilles injury last year, late in the season. Like,
isn't he 23? He's still super young, right?
Oh, yeah, he's young. He's only in his third year in the NFL, but if you told me that James Robinson was going to be on PUP for the first 3 weeks of training camp, I'd be like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If you tell me he's practicing by the fifth day of training camp, I'd be like, he's still really good, right? Like, and this coaching staff is not the one that drafted Travis Etienne in the first round, right? Like, that was an Urban Meyer pick. It's not their loyalty to him. So Etienne obviously has a ton of upside, but James Robinson should not be dismissed if he's back on the field sooner than later.
He should not be RB40. Like, right now, I don't think that he, when you look at, even if he misses time, how much time do you think he like potentially misses the first part of the year? Yeah. And that's, this is the thing that
I haven't heard anything yet. I haven't heard anything one way or the other yet. So like,
if you find out he misses four games because of this, right? RB 40 with what it is that he could potentially be. Again, just as the as a bye week fill-in, as somebody that you know is going to be out there and have a role rather than, I don't know.
I don't think it's terrible. I think it's, I have to look close at who's ahead of him from like RB 31 to RB 39, but it seems like fairly close to where he deserves to be drafted. Last one here comes the Irishman who wants to know Cam Akers or Travis Etienne as a keeper. I'm assuming there's no round consideration here. Like, hey, I keep Etienne in the fourth versus Cam Akers in the sixth or something. So let's just talk about it in a vacuum. This is a really good question because
you go first. Cause I don't want you to steal my answer.
I'm going to go with Cam Akers and, I'm sort of trusting the great reporting and words from Sean McVay that I've been hearing so far this offseason. Now, to be clear, it's not like the Rams did a bunch of like hard-hitting practices during the offseason. No team does. Cam Akers did not look good coming off. He looked like a guy in the playoffs, like the kind of guy that had just popped his Achilles like 7 months earlier and made a miracle comeback, right? Like he was not a dominant player.
How about a reminder that like that's how difficult it is to come back from Achilles when these like world class sculpted looks like not the same species as us.
Right.
Like 7 months later, oh, you still look human. Like it's so hard to come back from. So
yeah. So even if he didn't look great, it's still a reminder that he came back in 5 months. Like just truly absurd that he was available for the second season for the playoffs for the Rams. I'm still going with him though. Like so good down the stretch. As a rookie, Daryl Henderson, one of those guys that just feels too boomer busty. He's had his own injury concerns. Sony Michel is gone. Like,
yep.
I think it's Cam Akers. Do you feel strongly about it?
I do feel strongly about it.
The other way?
I'm going to take Cam Akers too.
Okay.
There's a big reason for me. That offense, I would just much rather have that Rams offense that's going to be probably a top 5 to 7 fantasy point offense.
Right.
Where do you think the Jaguars are going to rank as far as total fantasy points by the end of the year?
I would think like best case scenario is like 18 to 20.
Right. You're not looking at that same. So give me the guy. One, if I think he's healthy, it's going to be on an offense that's going to score more points. And two, the Rams scored 10 rushing touchdowns last year.
10
rushing touchdowns last season. The positive regression that's going to be available to Cam Akers and even potentially Daryl Henderson, I think is pretty huge. When you look at that, if he comes back healthy and like you're saying with Sean McVay, like if I'm trusting him, I like Cam Akers quite a bit more. I think he's I think he's being a little bit undervalued coming back from injury. I understand the fear, but I like Cam this year.
But it speaks to like I kind of like the top 15 to 18 of running backs this year. Like I feel they're better good. About it than I have in previous seasons where it's like you're at RB 12 and you're like, wait, that guy's like on a timeshare. Wait, that guy like doesn't catch passes. Like this is tough. Anything else before we get out of here?
I don't think so, other than it's good to see your face again.
It's great to have you a part of the show 5 days a week on this side, on the chairs. Whether we go back to the couch, we'll see. Just quick shout out. Last night is always, I think the ESPN does an amazing job with the ESPYs every single year. Dick Vitale gave an incredibly impassioned speech. I love what he said. We had our first ever $1 million donation. If someone matched up to $1 million, of cancer research funds, v.org/donate. If you're watching on the video right now, the shirt that I am wearing, if you can see it, is actually a bunch of V Foundation logos. The great people over at Roback put together this shirt. We're knocking out cancer. So if you have an opportunity to donate, v.org/donate, we always tell you this, no donation is too big or too small. Your gratitude and your generosity is so supremely and sincerely appreciated. v.org/donate for anybody that wants to be a part of an effort that I think, frankly, all of us can get behind. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was. Just the beginning. We have a ton of content coming up. As we told you, next Thursday, 1 week from today, we'll be back and we'll talk about some more stuff and then we get going. August 1st, Fantasy Focus is back to our daily schedule. ESPN Fantasy Marathon is August 15th and 16th. That's a Monday into a Tuesday. We cannot wait for that. For Daniel and Damien, it's also hanging out right here. I am Field. We'll talk to you guys soon.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.